Hi, y'all. So this week I read the Barrett Chapter 8, American Sign Language and Deaf Culture chapter, which was really interesting with both the, you know, the video about whether or not sign languages have accents, and also my own experiences taking phonetics and phonology at Swarthmore. So, you know, the video starts, you know, ask the question, do sign languages have accents? And the answer to that is, of course they do. Sign languages are just like vocal languages in that they have accents. And, you know, these accents come from the many different backgrounds that different signers come from, whether that be racial backgrounds or age or gender or geographic location. And that question of, you know, asking whether sign languages shares an attribute of, you know, what we think of every other language, every other type of vocal language having, reminds me of, you know, whenever I thought of this same type of question, whenever I took phonetics and phonology for the first time. So I remember we started a unit on the phonetics and phonology of signed languages. We focused mostly on ASL, but, you know, my first thought was, oh, I didn't even know that there was phonetics and phonology in ASL, because in my head, phonetics and phonology was just speech sounds. And I guess that, you know, that has to do with this language ideology that so many of us hold to, even if we're not aware of it, that signed language is somehow not as valid of a language, or, you know, as fully a language as a lot of other, you know, as other vocal, or as vocal languages. And of course, it's really important that people understand that ASL and other sign languages is like any other human language, and that sign languages have their own phonology and their own morphology and syntax and semantics. It's really important that people understand that. I mean, I remember I had a conversation with one of my friends from home over winter break. I was talking about how Swarthmore counted ASL as satisfying the language requirement, which I believe was new as of 2023, and he was saying that he disagreed with that decision. And, you know, a big part of the reason he thought about that was the same issue of having a language ideology, you know, not viewing signed languages as a full human language. And of course, it's great to defend its status as a language by explaining that it has its, you know, all of the attributes of language. But it's also interesting to me that, you know, that we have to kind of make this defense to so many people. Like, for example, if you tell someone that you're learning French at Swarthmore, you know, a lot of times people won't respond with, you know, oh, that's not a real language because, you know, it doesn't have the same attributes as language. Like, there's no phonetics and phonology or, like, phonological processes in French, or, you know, there's no syntactical processes in French that you can study. Like, that just doesn't happen as much. So it's interesting to me that signed languages are, you know, people often feel like they need a defense. They need someone to defend it to them in order for them to view it as a full language. Whereas with a lot of vocal languages, this defense isn't expected to the same extent, just because it's assumed that those vocal languages are more full human languages. So I guess, you know, this kind of got me thinking about how we can counteract this so that people, you know, view it as a full language, and that, you know, we won't constantly, people, not as many people will feel this need to, you know, get proof that it's a real language that they wouldn't request for a lot of other vocal languages. And I think to me, something I was thinking about is I had this professor at Swarthmore, Donna Giannopoli, who showed us a lot of work from deaf authors or deaf poets or deaf educators, and what that would mean if we incorporated that into the classroom more. You know, if sign languages was just a part of using language in the classroom, and it's, you know, was showed as something that was just as valuable, if what would happen if we started that, you know, in K-12 education or even earlier. I guess that's more of a question than a statement of, you know, this would definitely change everything. But I'm just curious of, you know, how that would change our perceptions of sign languages. Would we still have this language ideology of, you know, sign languages not being a full language? Would that be as fully entrenched in our minds? Would we be having as many conversations about why ASL should satisfy the language requirement? I'm curious to see what people's thoughts on that are, or if anybody can think of any other ways that, you know, we can show the fullness of sign languages as a human language and a way of communication in classrooms.